Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, right here on Bagels and Blessings, you will hear an amazing interview with a young rabbi. That's right, Matt Rosenberg. And we're going to talk about his new book. So stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. You'll need to call Thursday if you plan to come on Friday, as there's no one in the office to answer the phone on Friday. So just keep that in mind. Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building.
Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalom 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 Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom 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 Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Of course, that was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. Where would I be without Jonathan? He's been with me the whole way, ever since 1997, right here on Bagels and Blessings. All right, I am excited. I have a new song to introduce. This is Joshua Aaron with Aaron Schust and Shy Soul. What an amazing combination. It's called Isaiah 53.
He had no form or beauty that we should even look at him. Rejected and despised, our faces turned away. But by his bruises we were healed. grief and carried all our suffering, taking our punishment and bringing us shalom.
Shalom.
By his bruises we were healed. And he was wounded because of our sin, the suffering servant. Because of our sin, he never deserved it. By his bruises we were healed. By his bruises we were healed. Taken away to die, silent as a lamb would be. It pleased the heart of God to crush the righteous one. The will of Adonai to crush his only son.
This is Joshua Aaron, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013, with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at uccroc.com. Recently, I found out that there was a beautiful song by Marty Goetz and his daughter Misha that they recorded about Purim, and I didn't have it in time to play when we celebrated Purim. So you know what? I'm going to play it right now.
Who am I that I should find myself right here?
for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Are you our help? Are you our hope? At such a time as this. Is there before you now a chance you dare not miss? Could it be you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You and I know you're the one to go before the King. Not knowing what will be.
If I should go, please tell my people I've one plea. Pray for me. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Is there a help? Is there a hope at such a time as this? Is there before me now a chance I dare not miss?
Find mercy there,
or will I perish? Who can say?
Still at this time we cannot keep silent. We will stand. We will pray
for such a time as this. For such a time as this,
that you would choose someone like me.
There is a help,
although,
there is a hope, at such a time as this.
I know I must be strong.
There is before us now
a purpose I can see.
A chance we dare not miss. For such a time as this, there is before us now a chance we dare not miss. Would it be we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
What a truly beautiful song. And, you know, that comes out of Esther 4:14. Mordecai is talking to his niece, Esther, and he says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" So, listen to God and see where He's sending you, see what He's telling you. You have been called for such a time as this. So even though it's not the holiday of Purim anymore, the message is important for every day. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for a fun interview with Rabbi Matt Rosenberg. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. A nice discovery. This is from the CD Holy Fire with Paul Wilbur, and I confess that I hadn't heard this song before. So there you have it. All right, let's hear from Earl Schillinger. He's got some information for you about Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546. 206-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. La 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 la. Line, 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 line. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
That was Greg Silberman, and next up, Sue Samuel.
I will lift up my voice. I will lift up my voice and be glad. I will lift up my voice and praise You through the good and the bad. Though You slay me, I'll put my hope Your word. Naked I was born, and naked I'll die, but You're my portion, Lord. Yes, You're my portion, Lord. I will lift up my voice. I will lift up my voice and be glad. I will lift up my voice and praise You through the good and the bad. When You stretch me, forming this clay into You. Pressed but not crushed, struck down not destroyed. So I'll sing hallelujah. Yes, I'll sing hallelujah. I will lift up my voice. I will lift up my voice and be glad. I will lift up my voice and praise You through.
up my voice. I will lift up my voice and be glad. I will lift up my voice and praise you through the good and the bad. Yes, praise you through the good and the bad. I will praise you through the good and the bad.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now, here's Kathy Schuster with Garment of Praise. Are you wearing your garments of praise? Hope so.
You have given me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I will rejoice in you, Lord, giving glory to you.
Many of you remember Ira Goldberg, who used to live here. He used to co-host Bagels and Blessings with me sometimes. Well, please keep him in your prayers. As a result of the COVID vaccine, his body developed shingles and it went into his eye. It's very painful, so we just pray for his healing in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, my friends. Stay tuned for a wonderful interview with Rabbi Matt Rosenberg. Thank you for listening to Bagels and Blessings. And remember, even though the program is pre-recorded, you can still win something wonderful if you would just email me at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com or make a comment on my Facebook page. I would love to hear from you. All right, God bless you all. Stay tuned for my interview with Matt Rosenberg. Rabbi Matt Rosenberg, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
Thanks. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I knew you way back when you were a teenager and we were living in Howard Beach in New York City. And man, things have changed.
They sure have. Long time.
Wow. So since it's been so long since I've talked with you, why don't you give me a bit of a refresher? Tell me how you were raised and about your personal faith in Yeshua.
Okay. My parents are David and Helene Rosenberg. They started a Messianic congregation when I was 10 years old on Long Island in New York. And even before that, I grew up the first Messianic congregation we were part of, I was 5 weeks old at Beth Yeshua in Philly. And, you know, we jumped around New York and New Jersey and told my parents to start the congregation. And so I don't know anything other than Messianic Judaism. That's the context I grew up in. I think around 8 years old, I realized I was astonished to find that not all Jewish people believed in Yeshua.
Wow.
Because it just made, you know, that's all I knew. That's what made sense to me. And I knew fairly early that I was going to be a rabbi because I loved my dad and wanted to be like my dad. And, so I went to Nyack College, which is a Christian college in New York, and seminary. And then started working. I worked for my dad as an assistant rabbi, and then eventually came out to Seattle to lead a small fellowship here that turned into a congregation called Restoration. And we've been here for 11 years in April. We'll have been in Seattle for 11 years.
Wow. Well, let's back up a bit, because I always find it amazing when someone is brought up in a believing home and they choose to follow the Lord on their own. And it sounds like from the age of eight, you knew. Because, you know, I think it was Jews for Jesus that coined that phrase that being in a bakery doesn't make you a bagel any more than being in a believing home makes you a believer. And so I'm you know, I'm proud of you, Guy. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Keith Green said that once in one of his songs. You're not a cheeseburger just because you eat McDonald's.
There you go. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Oh, my goodness. Oh, now I'm craving a cheeseburger. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, well, we also can't, you know, we can't really get bagels out here in Seattle.
Oh, do I need to send some to you?
we're Jewish people in exile out here.
Oh,
all of our Jewish Northeast food, you know.
Somebody needs to open up a bagel shop. There's a business, you know. they have Jews.
Not many delis out here.
But they have Jews out there.
Some. Yeah, it's actually grown. In the last few years, because of the tech industry here, you know, Amazon is in, and Microsoft are here in Washington. So as those companies have grown, a lot more young Jewish people have been moving here to work there. But it's small in comparison to anything in the Northeast, any city in the Northeast, for sure.
Wonderful. You know, I really liked what you said a minute ago about, you know, how much you love your father and you wanted to be like him. What an honor and a blessing for him. I can only imagine, you know, as we say in Yiddish, the nachas, you know, the pride we get from our children. And
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, you know my dad. My dad has a lot of nachas these days. He's doing pretty good.
Oh, yes.
He has two sons. My younger brother is obviously in the Navy. And then me and my older brother, Jake, are both rabbis. Jake's leads a congregation in Chicago, and I'm out here in Seattle. So,
wow.
Yeah, our parents are pretty, you know, we all feel blessed, really.
You are. And you've learned to incorporate humor. You have some of the funniest Instagram posts I think I've ever seen. And I want to hear, it's true, I'm telling you.
Thanks.
You make me laugh, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know, I think that's part of the heritage of our people, right? You want to, if we're going to talk about things like suffering and hardship, you're forced to laugh about things. If you can't laugh about things, you don't have much left.
So, I'm telling you, I think
laughter's pretty important.
So, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus ever say anything new?
He did not. That's a great question. Yes, he did not.
Well, can we expound on that? Tell the listeners why I asked you that question.
Yeah, well, I just released my first book.
Yay!
Yeah, called Jesus Never Said Anything New.
New?
It's intentionally striking. Hit people. It's really written for Christians who want to who would be interested in the Jewish context of Jesus and his Jewish practice and why it matters for people who are not Jewish to understand him as a Jewish person. And so the idea is he never said anything new because everything he said was in first century Jewish context, and all the other rabbis of the first century were teaching the same things that Yeshua taught. The difference was not the content of what he was saying, as much as the authority with which he spoke.
I love it.
So where we say, you know, Rabbi Hillel says this, or Rabbi Shammai says this, right? You could have two rabbis. You know, the joke is wherever there's two Jews, there's three opinions.
Right.
And I was talking to Hyland Slobodkin, who's another Messianic rabbi here in the Seattle area. He said, actually, it's wherever there's three Jews, there's four opinions. I thought that was funny.
and so on.
You know, we have a lot of opinions, right? But A.W. Tozer, the famous pastor and author, said in one of his books that Jesus never uttered opinions. So where people, one person believed this or one rabbi believed that, Yeshua comes in to a first century Jewish world and says, well, let me tell you what I meant when I wrote it.
I like that.
It's not that the content is new as much as the authority of who he is, as not just fully man, but also the fullness of deity that dwells in him, that he could say, you know, I like your opinion, but when I was speaking to Moses face to face on Mount Sinai and I gave him the commandments, this is what I actually meant.
Well, I like...
you know, which you can understand why some people were upset.
yeah. I like the idea. I haven't seen your book yet. I will definitely get a copy one way or the other. But
yeah.
Hint, hint. But I like what you are inferring, because obviously Jesus spoke from the Jewish Bible. A Jewish man speaking from the Jewish Bible. This is the thing that completely shocked
Jewish people.
Yeah, exactly. This is what shocked me the first time I read the New Covenant. Like, well, I guess you don't have a memory of that because you grew up that way, but you know, my first time reading the New Covenant and seeing how Jewish it was, I was like, what? I thought this was going to be anti-Semitic.
Right. Right. And this is part of the dilemma in 2021 is you have a vast majority of Jewish people who never read the New Testament because they've been told or understood that it's against Jewish people. And then you have the majority of Christians who don't really read the Old Testament because they're just focused on the New. And where that puts us on both sides is the majority of Christians and Jews are biblically illiterate.
True.
Because they don't read the whole thing.
That's true. Now, did you always want to be an author? Like, how did you decide to write a book?
Yeah, I think I always had it in my mind. I think some of the things in my book go back to some of the papers I wrote in college and seminary.
Cool.
And have been wrestling with for the last 20, 25 years. And, yeah, it was, you know, you feel like you have something to say. It's good to put it down on paper. And, you know, I preach every week and, you know, our synagogue has an app and our sermons are available. But writing is a whole nother genre. And has its own kind of circles of influence of people who would read instead of listen. And, you know, so it's just another way to get the message of Yeshua out to as many people as possible.
Great.
So
I have to ask you too, you must have a really cool video team. I don't know how you produce the videos that you've been putting up, but I like the quality. How do you do that?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we said, well, once the pandemic started, we had already been doing, like, our synagogue has its own app, and we've had that since 2012. So I'm always interested in technology and trying to use technology to get the message out more. And part of the world we live in is video, and you know, if videos aren't excellent, people tap out. So the more excellence we can produce with, I think the better the result. So we started, I think the pandemic actually afforded us opportunity to start recording outside of our synagogue service. You know, before we were trying to record the message on Saturday morning and make that available. And now what we do is we film them ahead of time. And then I have a guy named Justin Gloyd in our community who, you know, does all the post-editing work and really just makes them much better than I could with his gifts and talents. And, yeah, it's funny. I preach now. I basically preach a week ahead. So I film next week's sermon every Saturday. And then that gives Justin a week to kind of post-edit it. And then we haven't met, you know, our congregation has, we just had our first service in a year this past Saturday. And so it's been hard not to meet, but it's also given us opportunity to do some stuff technology-wise that we've always wanted to do.
And you're going back to the future. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And then when we're actually back, we'll still preach, you know, live to the congregation, but we're not going to worry about recording it on Saturday morning. It'll already be recorded by the time I preach it. And it just gives us a chance to have a wider audience than just our community here in Seattle.
Excellent. Now, yeah. I'm putting you on the spot, but do you happen to have a copy of your book right in front of you?
Well, it's on Kindle.
I see.
On my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, that won't work because you're talking on your phone. So I'll just, or will it? I don't know. I was going to ask you to just to pick something brief and read it or share it, you know, to kind of whet their appetites. But let's talk about where they can get your book. And if you want to try to read an excerpt from it, you can. If not, that's fine. But where can they get it?
It's available on Amazon, both in paperback and as an ebook for Kindle. So yeah, it's all through Amazon. Let me just pull up.
Cool. I like that the word kind is in Kindle. Be kind. Get Rabbi Matt's book. Be kind.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one of the, from, the heading is Preaching the Jewish Messiah to Jews and Gentiles.
I like it.
So I wrote, in the early 90s, practically every teen in every church youth group had a bracelet bearing the acronym WWJD, which stood for What Would Jesus Do? I had a bracelet like that, and my dad asked me what it meant. When I explained, he asked me a question, which is a very Jewish thing to do, to answer a question with a question. He said, do you know what the answer to that question really is? He would go to synagogue, is the answer.
Ooh.
Simple, right? So often, without giving it much thought, the majority of people who believe in Jesus remove his Jewishness and his committed practice of his Jewish faith. But for me, it goes back to my Haftorah portion from my Bar Mitzvah, a reading from the prophet Amos, where I found my calling from the age of 13. It says in Amos, in that day, I will raise up David's fallen sukkah, I'll restore its breaches, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as days of old, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations called by my name. It is a declaration of Adonai, the one who will do this. Bar mitzvah means son of commandments, and as it is a rite of passage, traditionally at 13, when a young man reads from the Torah in Hebrew at synagogue for the first time. And according to tradition, there are set readings every Saturday, and this was my portion. At 13 years old, and for most of my adult life, I assumed that these verses were about God's call in my life to preach the gospel to my Jewish people. Like Paul, my burden is for my own people, and to see revival of Jewish people returning to the God of our fathers through Messiah Yeshua. But it's also part of my design, and my heartbeat. And as I've gotten older, probably around the start of my second decade in ministry, God's desire to call both Jews and Gentiles back to himself began to resonate with me. What would it look like for a Messianic synagogue to preach the gospel in a Jewish context? And what if both Gentiles and Jews responded to the preaching of the continuity of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament? What if Gentiles, some of whom have been disenfranchised and disappointed by the church, might respond to the Jewishness of Jesus and his disciples? This isn't to say that Gentiles would become Jews, but that they could become more historically minded and treat the New Testament as a Jewish book. What would that look like?
Oh, that is really good, young man. Hey, you got you got something. You got some talent there.
Thanks.
No, I mean it.
I go on to try to describe what I think that looks like, and what that looks like for our community in Seattle, and this idea that I think biblically, the call of Jewish people is still a call to be a light to the nations, and while that means we'll always reach our own people, my goal has shifted from just reaching my own people with the gospel and really focusing on helping Gentile Christians understand the Jewishness of Jesus and why it matters for their faith. Not that they have to celebrate the holidays or keep Shabbat or do some of the things that we practice in Judaism, but if they could understand Jesus doing those things and why those things are important to him, then I think it could deepen their relationship with Jesus.
Wow. I'm very impressed, young man. Very impressed indeed.
Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. So, again, it's called Jesus Never Said Anything New, correct?
Right. Yep.
And I'm just going to encourage everybody to get it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you just type that right into Amazon, it'll pop right up.
Cool. So, so Rabbi Matt, I have to ask, you know, growing up in Long Island, was it a bit of a culture shock to go out to Seattle?
I think a little bit. I don't know. I think part of my personality is, I don't know if I really experienced culture shock. I think I like, I've always liked different, you know, I studied comparative religion in college, and I've always liked to understand other people's perspectives and how they see the world, and so it's certainly different, but I was actually, you know, my parents ran away together. My dad's Jewish and my mom's Italian, raised Roman Catholic, and they ran away together in the 60s from New Jersey to Oregon. And so my brother Jake and I were both born in Oregon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then, you know, like hippie communes and the whole thing. And then when I was about 5 weeks old, we moved to the East Coast. So I grew up on the East Coast, but I have some roots here, and you know, I remember flying from, I flew over Crater Lake, which is in Oregon. It's part of a national park, and it's just this giant crater that's filled with water, and I was flying over it on my way to Seattle. And my parents, well, they say they honeymooned, but, you know, they were hippies, so they camped at Crater Lake and in their VW bus. And, you know, when I flew over it, I felt the Lord say, welcome home. And I'm sitting there in the window seat in the plane, and I thought, I'm not from here. And I'm a New Yorker. That's what I am. And the Lord was like, I know, but, you know, I'm bringing you back home where you started.
Aww.
So, yeah, so it's, I mean, I'm very rooted in wherever God tells me to be, and this is where he told me to be, so it's home, and I'm trying to get the Seattle Supersonics basketball team to come back, because we don't have a basketball team in Seattle, so I'm
pray
all
hard.
In. On, I'll never stop being a Yankees fan. It's hard to root for the Seattle Mariners because they've never even been to the World Series. They're the only team in baseball that's never been to the World Series. Of course, the Yankees have won 27 times. So, you know, but I've become a Seahawks fan, and it's a different context and culture, but I love being here because the Lord told me to.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, Rabbi Matt, before we end our time together, I'm wondering how you'd like us to be praying for you and your family, your ministry, anything at all.
Well, I think like everybody, this, you know, this pandemic has shifted a lot of things, and we haven't been able to really meet yet on a regular basis. So I'd love for that to end and for us to get back to some normalcy and community. And so I think pray, you know, as everybody's praying for all kinds of reasons, we want this pandemic to end and see this virus, see the Lord stop this virus. And, you know, but I also appreciate the shift and the change and the way it's made us think and change ourselves. And, you know, for the book, I think we just want the message of Yeshua to be out there as much as possible. And if it's something the Lord wants to use to, I feel like he told me to write the book. So I wrote the book, and then whatever he does with it is what he does with it.
Aww. So,
yeah, but you know, obviously the success of the book would mean a great deal to my family and our community. And so, yeah. Well, that's a good place to start. I'd love for my kids to get back into school. We're still doing online school, and there's good things about it, but lots of difficulties.
Sure.
So I think the sooner we can end that and get them back with friends and in school in person, I think the better off everybody will be.
Amen. 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 I hear you. I hear you. Well, may the Lord continue to equip you for all that he's called you to do, and may you continue with your delightful attitude and service to the Lord. And I find you to be an inspiration, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your book, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do with the rest of your life, young man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, amen. I really appreciate you being my guest today, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Lord bless you. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Shalom, shalom.
What a delightful young man, and I really feel like I've watched him grow up, and I know his parents are so proud of him. Praise the Lord. All right, we do have time for another short song. Let me see what I can come up with. Here is Ted Pierce.
Hine goleinu chai.
Hine goleinu chai.
Behold our Redeemer.
Hine goleinu chai.
Hine goleinu chai. Behold our Redeemer. Let every tribe and tongue come worship Him. Let all the people learn Him.
All right, we draw another week to a close. God bless you for now. And here's Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayishmorecha Yair Adonai panav alecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.